Oh, I really love the Lord. Yes, I do. I really love the Lord. You don't know what He's done for me. Just gotta thank you, Jesus gave me the victory. I love, oh, I love Him. I really love the. Let's praise Him. Oh, I'm going to pray the, yes, I am. I'm going to pray the Lord, for you don't know what He's done. Just gotta thank you, Jesus gave me the victory. Sorry, I love Him, I love Him, I really love the Lord. I'm going to serve Him. Oh, I'm going to serve the, yes, I am, I'm going to serve. You don't know. I just gotta thank you, Jesus gave the victory. I love Him. I Oh, I really love the, yes, I do. I really love. You don't know. Oh, I just gotta thank you, Jesus gave me the victory. I love Him, I love Him, I really love the Lord. The Lord has been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We're happy this morning to have with us Sister Betty Webb. It's always a joy. Have us, Sister Darby is here. Always happy to have her. And my beautiful niece, Monica Tabb, is here. She's such a great source of encouragement to me. Everybody needs some encouragement. Amen. Amen. I want to have a word of prayer before we begin this morning. I want to remember Sister Kimberly Allen is a little under the weather today, and that accounts for her absence, as well as Marilyn. And we're going to also remember Brother Harris, Brother Harding Harris, in prayer. Amen. Because Jesus made it clear that men should always pray and not lose heart. And I tell you, everybody, you can't get very far in this life without some help. Amen. It's good to know that my help comes from the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. If you'll bow with me, Father, we come this morning thanking you for all of your blessings. We thank you, Lord, that you cared enough about us to send some help. And Lord, you sent that help in the name of Jesus. So we come this morning because you said men should always pray and not lose heart. We lift up the Allen family this morning, Kimberly and her dear mother and her father. You bless her in a special way and restore her health and her strength. And just bring peace and comfort to this great family. We lift up Brother Harris, Brother Jerry, Brother Clarence this morning, and their brother, whose father, who is in the hospital fighting illness. But we do thank you, Lord, for the progress he's made. We know, Lord, that he has a ways to go, but we know you can take him every step of the way. So bless the great Harris family and give them, Lord, what they need, and guide the doctors, give them wisdom and skill and understanding as they minister to Brother Harris and Brother Clarence's brother. We thank you this morning for the presence of Sandy, who's been in the hospital, but Lord, you brought her a mighty long way. I want you to bless her family and her daughter, the Blanson family, Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful that we have this avenue. And Lord, we're so thankful that we can call you any time of the day or any time of the night. And you're always attentive to our prayers. And Father, we'll be so thankful to give you the praise for all that you do in the mighty and triumphant and exalted name of Jesus. Let's say together, amen. I want to thank Brother Rutledge for a splendid song service. Brother Sperling for the excellent job he did today with the invocation. Thank Brother Ed Bailey for a tremendous reading of the scripture. And Brother Sam White for those beautiful prayers that he continues to pray in our behalf. This morning, if you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to call your attention to two scriptural sites. The first site is Romans chapter 12, verse 11. And the second site is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Two scriptural sites. Romans chapter 12 is the first site. And verse number 11. And the second site is Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Romans 12, 11. If you have that, say amen. Amen. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, if you'll go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. You have that, say amen. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. From that dual reading, I want to talk with you from the subject, how to be someone special. Did y'all hear that? How to be someone special. Somebody has said the best way to know how to become somebody is to know who to follow. And I don't know of anybody greater to follow than Jesus Christ. If you want to be somebody, learn how to follow Jesus Christ. Amen? Because he has proven himself to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. There is a uniqueness that belongs to Jesus Christ. He is unique in incarnation, for he alone is the God-man. He is unique in atonement, for he and he alone has died for the sins of the world. He is unique in resurrection, for he and he alone has absolutely conquered death and given us an everlasting victory. His teaching was brilliant and authoritative. His mighty deeds were marvelous and astonishing. The greatest words ever heard came out of the mouth of Jesus, for never spake man like this man. The wisest words that this world has ever known came out of the mouth of Jesus, because never spake a man like this man. Jesus causes us to think special thoughts. Jesus causes us to feel special emotions. Jesus causes us to engage in special behavior. And he gives us clues and insights on what it takes to be somebody. Don't you want to be somebody? Don't you want to be somebody special? And I must remind you that nobody has done as much for you and can do as much for you as Jesus Christ. And as strange as it sounds, we're to love him more than we love our mother. We're to love him more than we love our father. We're to love him more than we love our wives or husbands. We're to love him more than we love our children. We're to love him more than we love our BFF, best friend forever. Because he is the greatest friend that I have. And when I talk about being somebody special, let me tell you what I'm referencing. I'm talking about being somebody special has reference to somebody whose life has the approval of God. Now, I'm telling you, you're living a special life if God, the great God who sits high and looks low, can look down on your life and smile on it. Amen? When I talk about special, I'm talking about somebody through whom their lives, God's will can be realized and executed upon the earth. Somebody's got to carry out God's will. How else is it going to be done? Somebody on earth got to obey God. Amen. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, there are many ingredients involved in making your life special. But this morning, I just want to look at one. I want to look at one ingredient that if we have it in our lives, it will make our lives special. But also, I want to look at the antithesis, or the opposite. There's also one ingredient that if you have in your life, it will prevent you from being special. Because it takes certain ingredients to be special. I was talking to a ministerial colleague, and he was telling me about his wife made a chocolate pound cake. I said, man, quit talking to me about that. You ain't got nothing for me to eat. Praise God. But he talked about the ingredients that goes into a good cake. Amen? And I know in this audience this morning we got some outstanding cooks. Amen. Thank you. I was beginning to wonder. Wasn't no feedback. Amen. But it takes certain ingredients to make a life special. So there are two things I want you to see. Number one, the one ingredient that can make your life special. And point number two, the one ingredient that will prevent your life from being special. A Jewish rabbi by the name of Joseph Telusky made this statement. He said that the right words at the right time can inspire generations for a lifetime. Now, sometimes if you can just hear the right words at the right time. Is that all right? Bianca told me this morning that that handsome young man there is her fiance. So somebody said the right words. Somebody said the right words. Is that all right? So he said if we could just hear the right words at the right time, because words are not meaningless units of exchange. Words are filled with meaning and power and significance. Words can touch your mind. Words can touch your heart. Words can touch your soul. Sometimes you might be down and out and somebody comes along and speaks just the words you need to hear at the right time. And sometimes you can be doing all right and somebody comes along and rains on your parade. Somebody comes along and says words that depresses you. So hearing the right words at the right time. There is a word in the Bible that comes out of the mouth of God. Because I need every word that comes out of God's mouth. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but if he's really going to live, he lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. There's a positive word. If you can just get it in your life, it's filled with meaning and power. It will help you to live a special life. It's a positive word. It's a powerful word. It can change your life immediately. I'm going to talk about this word. Y'all want to know what this word is, don't you? Amen. This word is the word diligence. Now, I wrote this definition down because I want to really give you this. Let me give you this. Write this definition down. It means persistent effort. Persistent, hard-working effort in doing something. It means steady application to business of any kind. It means perseverance, industry, assiduity. And assiduity means great care and attention to doing something. Diligence is the idea of exerting yourself, endeavoring, making haste. And if I could just put it in street lingo, diligence is being a go-getter. Diligence means if you want it, you go get it. That word can change your life and make you special. The Bible has a lot to say about this word. Let me give you some benefits of this word. If you ever hope to be special, you'll never be special if this word is not in your life. And the Bible speaks about this word. First of all, this word will make you rich. Proverbs 10:4, Brother Wyatt. This word will make you rich. Now, don't be so one-dimensional that you think all wealth is financial. There are different levels and dimensions of wealth. Amen? There's spiritual wealth. There is the wealth of health and strength. You can have all the money in the world, but if you're sick, you'll spend your money trying to get your health. There is the wealth of having solid family and friends in your life. There are different dimensions of wealth. But this one word, if you go get it, if you are persistent and hard working in doing something, if you have steady application, you can create miracles in your life. What does Proverbs 10:4 say, Brother Wyatt? Listen to this.
He becometh poor.
He becomes poor.
That deals with a slack hand.
That deals with a slack hand.
Come on. But the hand of the diligent.
But the hands of the diligent.
Maketh rich.
Makes rich. You got to be a go-getter. You got to go and get it. Amen? Not only that, it will not only make you rich. Diligence will help you find God. You're never going to find him if you don't seek for him diligently. Some people are running from God like Jonah. Some people are hiding from God like Adam and Eve. But yet some people are seeking for God like the wise men that came from the east. Yes, it's true. God hung out his brightest star in the Bethlehem sky. But those wise men had to follow that star. And when they followed that star, it led them to where the baby Jesus was lying. Hebrews 11:6-8, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible not only tells us what to do, it tells us how to do it. The Bible says we should serve God, but it tells us how we should do it. The Bible tells us we should seek God, but it tells us how we should seek him. There was a young man who was a basketball player. He had talent. He had skills. And the coach held a tryout. And the coach said to him, he looked at him, he saw the young man had talent. And the coach said to him, he said, I want to keep you, watch this, but you got to hustle. So the coach not only looked at the fact that he had skills, but he looked at how he played the game. And God is saying, I want to keep you, but you got to hustle. Jay-Z. Y'all know Jay-Z? Even Jay-Z can teach you something. Jay-Z is a rapper and a business mogul. He made a profound statement. He said, I am not a businessman. He said, I am a business man. Did y'all get that? He said, I'm a business. Well, guess what? You are a business. You are a corporation. You are You Inc. Y'all know what Inc. I-N-C mean? Incorporated. You have a life to run. You have a life to live. The question is, how are you going to live? How are you living? I'm a business. You are, everybody's in business for themselves. So Jay-Z was right. But I'm not a businessman, I'm a business man. Well, we have a life to live. Diligence will help you to enrich and take your life to the next level. Now, brothers and sisters, I really enjoy us coming together on the first day of the week. Amen. I enjoy the fellowship. I appreciate the fact I see my dear brothers and sisters, some I hadn't seen all week. Amen. But we didn't just come here to fool around. We didn't come here. We don't come here on Sunday to play games. No preacher has a right to stand in the pulpit and waste people's time. Amen. We're here to get some information and some motivation and some strength that will take our lives to the next level and will also guarantee our destiny. That's why we're here. Amen. Amen. Since I'm a business, I have the business of developing my life. Amen. And you can't develop your life without diligence. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 talks about and giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And unto temperance, godliness. And unto godliness, patience. And unto patience, brotherly kindness. And unto brotherly kindness, love. But let me tell you something. These seven things, these seven Christian graces are not just going to ring your doorbell. A knock on your door and jump into your life. Peter said, if you turn to the text, brothers and sisters, Peter said, read it, Brother Wyatt, 2 Peter 1:5.
And besides this, giving all diligence.
That ever it is again. Now, what did I tell y'all diligence was? Y'all remember? Y'all got it in your notes? What is it? Persistent
effort.
Effort. Persistent, hard work and effort in doing something. Is that what diligence is? All right. Steady application to business of any kind. Perseverance, industry, assiduity. The idea of exerting yourself. He says, exert yourself. Go get it. You want to be somebody special? You can be. Don't you let nobody tell you, you can't be somebody special. It depends on how you run your business. How you run your corporation. Because all of us are a business. So Peter said, besides this, what did he say, Brother Wyatt?
Giving all diligence.
Giving all diligence. That word is again. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that
diligently.
And you know what? Some people never found God because they haven't looked for him right.
False.
You ain't going to find him. I love my kids. You know, when they were little, I said, go in there and get my glasses. And they go in the room and just turn around. We don't see him. Well, the reason you don't see them Because you ain't looking for him. The same reason the thief don't find the police. He ain't looking for him. Is that right? Thief ain't looking for no police. He's running from the police. Is that right? Well, how am I going to add to my faith virtue? Diligence. How am I going to add to my faith, to my virtue, knowledge? And then temperance. And then godliness. Then patience. Then brotherly kindness. And then, I tell you, you can do it. You can become somebody special. But you got to work at it. Got to be diligent. I want to thank all my beautiful people who made the effort to be here this morning. Yeah. That took effort, didn't it? Amen. Thank you, Cookie. Cookie, you got my back this morning. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. I ain't getting much help. I better stay on this side over here. Praise God. Let me praise Whitney. Can I praise Whitney? Y'all know where Whitney lives? Let's go and say Tuscaloosa. Yeah. But guess what?
Come on, preacher.
She was here this morning, before 9 o'clock.
Amen.
Now that's impressive, ain't it?
Yes,
which lets me know she had diligence. She made a special effort. And that's what makes you special. You live your life with a special effort. Christ deserves the best I got. He deserves the best. He deserves to be the best preacher I can be. But I got to work at it. Is that right? Brother Rutledge is an outstanding song leader. And he work at it. So yeah, Moss, I'm going to sing that song you've been singing. Leave my song alone. You got to work at it. Is that right? And then diligence will make sure, listen, this is a big one, will make sure one day you arrive in heaven. How many want to go to heaven? How many are willing to make the effort to get there?
Amen.
2 Peter 1:9 says, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Well, watch this. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:9-10, wherefore the rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Watch this. For if you do these things, what thing? Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, patience, brotherly kindness, love. If you add these things to your life, he say, you will never fall. That's how you become somebody special. You make a special effort. The coach told the basketball player, "Now, boy, you good, but you won't hustle.
Yeah.
You won't block out. You won't get the rebound west. You're letting folks come in and dunk on you. You won't protect the basket. You hear that, Jay? Is that right? Here's the second and final thought. Now, the opposite of diligence is a negative word. It will rob you. It will diminish you. It will negate you. It will subtract from you. Bless you. Amen. And this word is so negative and destructive. You know what that word is? Y'all ready for it? Slothful. Can I define it for you? Here's a definition: inactive, sluggish, lazy, idle. Disinclination to action or labor. Theologically, slow to take action. Through hesitation, anxiety, negligence. People let inconvenience stop them from taking action. Now, can I break it down? Slowfulness is just chilling. Just chilling. What's that? What's that modern on? What's that? Hustle man? Bruh man, yeah. You got hustle man and you got bruh man, yeah. Hustle man, I'm trying to sell them pigeons on that stick, bro, why? Y'all all right? But bruh man, what you doing? Just chilling. And some people are living their lives just chilling. But you will never be special. Just chilling. Brother Rod, I need, before I close this thing out, I need probably a 22-29. If you have the NIV, well, read it from the King James. If you have the NIV, I want you to read it from that as well. 22:29. How to be somebody special. Boy, that exciting. If I just go, if I want the best life's got to offer, I got to go get it. Want to see my life improve spiritually? I got to go get it. If I want to go to the next level, I got to go and get it. If I'm going to become stronger, wiser, better, I got to go and get it. You have it, Brother White? Read it.
Proverbs 22:29, King James Version. Seest thou a man diligent in his business?
See a man. This word is all through the Bible. It's a little old word, but it's so powerful. And the Lord allowed me to look at this word and think about this word and compare. Now, the opposite of diligence is slowfulness. Just chilling. Read, Brother White.
He shall stand before kings.
He shall stand before kings.
He shall not stand before mean men.
And that means ordinary folks. And what that text is saying, if you do your work well, it'll bring you before the people who will really appreciate you.
NIV.
NIV, what did that say, Doc?
Do you see someone skilled in their work?
You see someone skilled in their work?
They will serve before kings.
They will serve before kings.
They will not serve before officials of low rank.
They will not. And if you do a job well, Michelangelo said, I'm going to paint ceilings. Dr. King said, if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, you sweep streets so well, even the host of heaven will say, here lies a great street sweeper. Solomon said, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. That's what he said. Amen. Is that all right? Slowfulness. Y'all put your seatbelts on. Trying to help somebody. Being late. For God's service is a form of slowfulness. Yes, sir. Amen. I told my beautiful people on the educational team, and, you know, and they responded, you know, Monday through what, Friday? Some of us are up at 5 o'clock. Let me go look out the window. On the job at 6:45. My sister says 6:45. She just telling the truth, Miss Mo. And that takes a special effort. David said, I will not give to God of that which costs me nothing. Church, I want to tell you that I pay a price every week to bring you a quality word from the Lord. I do. I take that seriously. I can't waste your time. Amen. You deserve the best I got. Christ deserves the best I got. Is that right? I heard a motto and I learned it. It said, study yourself to death and pray yourself to life. That's what I try to do. Study myself to death. My children say, why are you always reading? Because I got to learn something. How you going to teach somebody if you don't know nothing? Is that all right? And if the people are going to grow, you got to grow. Is that right? But I know slothfulness. I will never be rich if I'm slothful. I had my Harris there. And the word on the street, Harris is a heck of a businessman. And he is. Harris called it drive, Wide. Yeah. I had my old Wide there. Man, Wide could do stuff with a computer, how you dizzy. Man, how you gonna teach me going so fast? Bobby Scott. I love Bobby. Got all kind of skills. Brother Spurling told me about it. I knew it, but Brother Spurling confirmed it. But we'll never move into our greatness. We're not diligent. You'll never find God. You'll never find God. And it's going to come a time in your life you're going to need him. That time is coming. You're going to really need him. You're going to call him. Amen. But he ain't going to hear you. Because he said, I've called, you have refused. I have stretched out my hand. No man regarded me. You have said it, not all of my counsel. And you would none of my reproof. So I'm going to laugh when your calamity comes. When it comes upon you like a whirlwind, I'm going to laugh at you. Oh, do you want to be somebody special? I'm telling you how to be somebody special. Live with diligence. Get away from slothfulness. And your life changes immediately. Is that all right? And you say, you raise your standard. You say, I ain't taking that no more. I'm not going to live with that no more. I'm raising my standard. And when you raise your standard, people will see you raising your standard. Amen. With slothfulness, I will never develop my life. I ain't gonna never grow in virtue. And virtue is from the Greek word arete. It literally means power or excellence. Is that right? Amen. I will never have in my life knowledge if I don't allow slothfulness. I was talking with an educator one time, and I was really shocked what she said. She said, "I don't like to read." What? How are you going to be an educator and don't like to read? Reading is the foundation. In fact, you can't do math or arithmetic if you can't read. Is that right? You go through life, can't read, you are at a disadvantage. I thank God for my teachers who taught me how to read. Amen. Brother Earl, when I was in the first grade, I remember this distinctly. I was in the first grade, and my teacher name was Miss Price. I remember this. It's been a long time ago, but I remember. And she had two reading groups, Sister Johnson. She had the smart group and the dumb group. Oh, she did. And that day, I was in the dumb group. I went home, that thing bothered me. I was 6 years old, that thing bothered me. I went home and told Mama. She had me in the dumb group, Mama. She said, "Boy, get your reader. Run, Jip, run. Get your reader, boy. Get your reader." And Mama taught me, and we worked, and I was diligent. And guess what happened the next day? I went in there, Wes. And I was reading, Wes. She said, "Boy, you get in the smart group." And I've been reading ever since. Is that all right? And then in conclusion, the story Brother Wyatt, Brother Bailey read about the wicked servant. Slothfulness will cause you your soul. There's a certain way you got to save your soul. God gave these men talents or money. And one man was given five and he gained five more. One was given two, he gained two more. One was given one and he did nothing with it. He hid it. And he said, "I was afraid." And said, "I knew you was a hard man and you gathered where you hadn't sown and you gathered where you hadn't strawed. And I was afraid." And God says, listen, we will never, how many want to hear God say, "Well done"? Amen. We will never hear God say, "Well done," if slothfulness dominates my life. Because he told that wicked servant, he said, "Take what he has and give it to someone else and cast him into outer darkness." And there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, this is serious business. You are a business. You are a corporation. And it matters how you run your business. You can run it with slothfulness or you can run it with diligence. Remember the definitions that I gave you. Amen? And I'm determined for the rest of my life that I'm going to live my life with diligence. I ain't going to just chill. I'm going to go get it. Will anybody join me? Amen. So I ain't going to just chill. Amen? Amen. Because I got some challenges in my life. Yeah. Oh yeah, I got some mountains to climb. Yeah, but diligence will help me find my God. Diligence will help me to add to my life, Sam White. Yes, is that all right? You got to know who to follow. And when you follow Jesus Christ, is that all right? You become somebody. Oh, I'm glad I'm in the church of Christ. Can anybody say amen to that? I'm glad I'm in the church of Christ. And God said, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the good news, B. Is that all right? To go and tell every nation. Go and tell every creature. I know we live in a bad news world, Sister Smith, but I'm glad there's some good news from heaven. Is that all right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he was diligent, y'all. Is that all right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, I got some good news for you. Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but he that feareth him and worketh righteousness in every nation is accepted of him. Is that all right? Ain't that good news? Lord, ain't that good news? And I can say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee because no other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, oh, whether shall I go? Is that all right? Somebody can say, Lord, I'm down here. I'm trying to live right. Lord, I'm down here and I'm trying to do what's right. Is that all right? So, Lord, help me to do what's right. Is that all right? Lord, order my steps in your word. Is that all right? The steps of a good man, Wes, are ordered by the Lord. Is that all right? In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Is that all right? And that's why I ought to be diligent, because one day the whistle gonna blow. One day the evening sun gonna go down. Is that all right? One day the curtain gonna fall on the stage of life. Is that all right? One day the final benediction's gonna be said. One day the final amens are gonna be said. Is that all right? But if I hold on to God's unchanging hand, God will be my bread when I'm hungry. God will be my water when I'm thirsty. God will be my help when I'm sick. Is that all right? God will be my life when I'm dying. God will be my shelter in the time of a storm. I hear Isaiah saying, a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Is that all right? I'm glad this morning I can run to Jesus. Is that all right? I'm going to run on. Run on, run on. Oh, I'm going to run on to see what the end is going to be. And it take diligence to run on. It take diligence to be the best basketball player. Is that all right? Dr. Ben Carson is a world-renowned neurosurgeon. Did you not know that he was in the dumb group too? And guess what his mama did? And she didn't have a high school education. You know what his mama did every day? Made him get in the house and read. Because you develop your thought process and your mind. And he said he thought he was smart, coming out of Detroit, went to Harvard, and found out there were folks just as smart as he was. But he didn't stop there. But he kept being diligent, steady application, going to get it, and became, show you how deep this is, a world-renowned neurosurgeon. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white. In fact, because of misconceptions, some people from overseas came in. He was going to do this brain operation. And when the couple came in, they said, we're looking for Dr. Carson. Dr. Carson is a black man, if you didn't know. Well, they were expecting a white man. But it doesn't matter whether you're a black man or a white man, if you're diligent, you can be special. That's the message. I hope I've helped somebody today. Would you stand, please? Remember, you are a business. Amen. And you got to determine how you're going to live your life. Amen. You're going to just chill, or you're going to go and get it. And be like the old man. He said, I may give out, but I won't give up. How many want to be special today? You want to be special? That word will change your life. It will revolutionize your life. Seek God diligently. Work on your Christian life diligently. Work on your commitment diligently. Amen. Make yourself more valuable. All right? Nobody wants you half washing their car. Huh? That right? I was down in Ethel's Bible Shop where I get my hair cut. Talking to one of the young men, Brother Harris knew who I'm talking about. And he was saying, it don't matter once you get paid, you ain't got to do nothing. No. So let me tell you something. Let me break it down for you. I said, do you know why I keep coming in Ethel's Bible Shop getting my hair cut? Because my barber does a good job to my satisfaction. But if I was coming here, he was messing up my hair. Uncut gaps in my head. My head looking like 24 birds been pecking in it. You think I keep going back in there? Not to do what? How many of y'all go to beauty shop and they mess your hair up and y'all go back? Huh? And some of y'all in the beauty shop every week. I can tell. I can look at you and tell. Is that all right? But you go back because that person who's working on you has diligence. Is that right? That's what it's all about. The one here today want to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. If you're a child of God, you take care. You incorporated. Can't nobody do your push-ups for you. Can nobody learn for you? Can nobody give an account for you? Right. Amen. You got to deal with your own sins. Is that right? Amen. So if you're here today and you need some help, if you need some help this morning, yes, this is the place to get it. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my cry? You know that why on earth is do pass me. I'm calling you, say, yeah. Oh, God bless you, Antrice. Hey, yeah. Why don't you hear my cry? You know that why on earth is thou called? Oh, do not pass me.